It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Bortolo knocked down by Brodin, but he worked it loose. Sederlund with a minute left, shoots in deep. Eklund along the left boards. Will he stop it? No, it's cleared toward the empty net. Score! Well, that's it. Empty netter for Minnesota with 53.3 seconds to go. Ryan Hartman, the right-handed shooter, is going to get credit for that goal. It was Eklund was trying to keep it in, but he fed it all the way down, and into the goal it went. 3-1 Wild.
Well, I actually thought we were doing some good things physically, but I really thought mentally we were out of it. We didn't really give the mental effort that we did with our physical effort. And the penalties didn't help us. You know, you get two penalties and that power play can move it around pretty good. And, you know, we certainly were fortunate to get out of that period only 1-0. You know, I thought Blackie was outstanding. So, but I give our team a lot of credit, you know, to kind of get back on track and have a good second period and even better third period. I mean, I liked an awful lot about our game in those two periods.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome as we are on a Friday morning. We've got, well, one more game for the San Jose Sharks in the month of March. They are now carrying a 9-game losing streak as they head into St. Louis. But actually, from what we've seen from the Sharks as of late, I didn't really have a lot to argue with in terms of that performance against Minnesota last night. It was not the best Sharks game of the year in any way, shape, or form. And yes, they were sleepy in that first period, being outshot, I believe, 15-1. But after that, the Sharks settled in and played what I would consider a pretty decent hockey game. And really, you know, they were not down by a tremendous amount or anything like that. You know, they get down 1-0 early. They fight their way back into the game to make it 1-1. And then the problem there is that 18 seconds into the third period, they give up that goal that makes it 2-1. The Sharks' offense on the road this year has been, well, for lack of a better term, not good. And just to give you an example of that, looking at the month of March, if we go back to their first game on the road in the month of March, they scored 2 goals in a shootout loss to Dallas. They scored 3 goals in a road loss to Minnesota. They scored 2 goals in a loss to Philadelphia. They scored 3 goals in a loss against the Pens. They scored 2 goals in a loss against Columbus. They scored 2 goals in a loss against Chicago. They scored 2 goals in a loss at Nashville. And last night they scored 1 goal in a loss against the Wild. So it goes without saying that the high point for offensive output for the Sharks in the month of March was 3. And the most consistent goaling output they had on the road was 2. They did not win any of these games. I feel like it's worth pointing out. I don't know if you have to point that out considering how low the offensive output has been. But the high goal mark for the month of March was only 1 game in which they had 6 goals. That was in the 7-6 overtime loss to Dallas at home. The rest of the time, the high output on the road was 3. And the home high output was 4, that overtime loss to Chicago, and that was at home. They also put out 1 against the home loss to Tampa. I mean, guys, they don't have a lot of offense right now. I mean, I'm just looking at the month of March. Obviously, the other side of the deadline came on the 8th, but even before that, it's not like they were putting up great offensive numbers. They did have a lot of goals in that game against Dallas, no doubt about that, but other than that, it's been a low output with, 4 goals otherwise being the high mark at home and 3 goals being the high mark on the road. And last night they could only get one on the road. It's just, it's not going to be enough. Now, there's no shame in losing 3-1. Don't get me wrong. It's just, you see the consistent problem over and over again of this team not having enough offense to get it done. To weave, even when they do enough things pretty well around the game, it's just not going to be there consistently. If you only give up one goal entering the third period for any team in the NHL, I'm pretty sure if they say, yeah, we've given up one heading into the third, that's a game that we feel like we can win. If you do that at home, that almost feels like it's a must-win situation. If you do that on the road, that feels like that's a pretty good chance to win. Again, it will not always happen, but I feel like for a lot of teams and at a lot of different moments in the Sharks' timeline, that will be a win. And when I talk about that timeline, I include the future as well. Like, I think that, I know everybody's really down on how long it's going to take the Sharks to get back into it, but I remain confident that there's a lot of guys that are young on this group that are sick and tired of losing already, and they want to be able to turn things around quickly. And I know we're not there yet, but let's watch and see what occurs over the next couple of years. But I do think that when you get to that situation in the future, I think these Sharks are going to say, we've been in this situation before when we were not as talented. We've been in this situation when we were in a much worse situation. You lose after only giving up one goal in the past. That's something you don't do in the future. And I mean one goal entering the third period. So I try to look for the positive takeaways from this game. One of the biggest, if not the biggest positive takeaways from this game for me was Mackenzie Blackwood looking like Mackenzie Blackwood. I think that one is something that cannot be overstated. Mackenzie Blackwood all year long, while his numbers may not have been completely indicative of the type of performance that he's had on the ice because the players in front of him did not give him the great defense, of which there are multiple reasons for that. I'm not trying to hang anybody out to dry or anything like that. It just sometimes there were defensive collapses in front of him, which, you know, put him in a bad situation. I don't think that's anything that's breaking news to any of you. Mackenzie Blackwood last night looked phenomenal. I mean, you go back to that early goal, the one that he was able to keep out that ended up being overturned. That was a huge, huge moment for San Jose. Let's go take a listen to that.
Minnesota will skate one out now. Chisholm circles away from Bailey, who's headed back to the Sharks bench with some speed. Merrill and Chisholm send the puck up the right wing side. And it's sent to the middle now, and here comes the Wild attack. Cross the line, sent to the net by Rossi, save. Rebound, Hartman, a great chance. Stopped in front somehow. It stays out of the net, but it's still loose. And finally, reaching into a pile of players, Mackenzie Blackwood, who made that first stop brilliantly off of Rossi, who can't believe it, was able to get his glove on it to hold on.
Now, I will admit that in the moment, I'm thinking to myself, how on earth did that not cross the line? And I also thought to myself, I lost sight of that puck for a long time. How did anyone else keep an eye on that puck? And I thought there's no way that that's going to get called a goal because it was just overall, it was out of sight for so long. Let's go to the ref's review of that.
After video review, the play on the ice was deemed to be complete prior to the puck crossing the line. Therefore, we have no goal.
Yeah, obviously Wild fans are going to be upset, but I didn't see why they would be that upset in the moment. But back to the play. I mean, Mackenzie Blackwood did his best impression of the blob, just spreading his body as wide and as big as possible as that puck is low in the crease and anything's going on right there on the line. I mean, Mackenzie Blackwood, to be putting forth that type of effort in a game at this point of the season, I love to see it. And I think that he is a big part of the Sharks' future. I don't know how long that future is going to be, but you know, I'm already looking forward to what he can do next year. I'm already looking forward to what he can bring the Sharks in the coming seasons because his overall demeanor, his attitude, his ability to make great plays, I think that he is way gone above and beyond what maybe the hope was for him because I think a lot of people said, okay, this is a guy who's got an injury history. Maybe he can get his career back on track. I think that if you are a team that has looked at him throughout the play that he's had this year have said, okay, we've got to wait for their defensive breakdowns because Mackenzie Blackwood is not going to let the puck get past. He is going to be that good. He's going to be that much of a problem for us to deal with. And I think for Mackenzie Blackwood, that sort of mentality is starting to creep into his game where it's like, okay, if you're not going to have a defensive breakdown in front of me, I'm going to stop you. Even if there is a defensive breakdown in front of me, I'm probably going to make the stop as well because Mackenzie Blackwood, it just seems like with a body size that big and the athleticism and the flexibility that he has with only one minor injury this year, which is something to build upon for him if he goes into the offseason healthy, hop back on that Pilates train, hop back on that yoga train, get himself ready for the next year. I think he's got to be excited, and I think that everybody on the Sharks has got to be excited for him to be in net again next year. Moving on from other positive performers from last night's game, Kyle Granlund, and just watching his ability to continue to keep producing this year in light of some pretty difficult circumstances, in light of having not a lot of established NHL weapons around him, I think that Mikhail Granlund has shown Sharks fans why he is such a respected figure in that dressing room, and I think why he's such a respected figure around the NHL, why he's been able to have such great longevity. I know there is concern about the lack of veteran presence on the San Jose Sharks, especially a lot of the guys, like you lose a Tomas Hertl, somebody who was here during the glory years, who remembers what it was like. You don't have Jumbo anymore. You don't have Patty anymore. You don't have Pavelski anymore. And granted, Granlund was not here during that time, but he understands exactly what it means to be a winner. And I think that, you know, for a guy who's been in the NHL for 800 plus games now, for a guy who understands exactly what it takes to win in this league, his ability to make something happen out of nothing, his ability to create opportunities for his teammates, his ability to put the puck in the back of the net, that for me continues to be one of the most positive things to take away from this season, because I think that as younger players come in, we don't know when Will Smith is going to come in. We don't know when Quentin Musty is going to come in. We don't know when any of those guys specifically are going to be a part of this team. It might happen soon next year. It might happen later. I don't know. But the fact is a guy like Granlund, for any of the young players, for any of the guys coming into the Sharks, even though Granlund was not here for the specific glory days, he is a consummate professional. He is an absolute gamer. He demands a high level from himself, and I think that he demands a high level from other guys out there on the ice. And with the effort that he puts out, the way that he sets up guys, the things that he can do out there on the ice, I think it is very impressive and encouraging to see, because I think that Granlund is one of those guys that is a part of this team's future, even though Mike Greer says, you know, anyone's essentially on the table at this point. But for Granlund, you know, he's a guy who plays like he wants to be here. And I think that's been one of the things that we've talked about over this final stretch of the season, is who are the guys that show that they're still competing, they still want to be here, they still want to make something of themselves and show and prove that they can still perform at a very high level. Mikhail Granlund had some things to prove, and I think there were a lot of question marks about him coming over, but now you see Granlund and what he's done this year when he's been healthy on a team with not a lot of offensive firepower around him. Yeah, there's a lot to work with there, and I'm glad he's on this team. Thomas Bortolo, I think that one of the things that we heard from David Quinn after the game, and we'll get into this more in the next segment, but David Quinn said that Thomas Bortolo did not have his A game last night, but he did have his B game, and he said he was excited to see that there was a B game, because I think that's a big part of any player's development in the NHL. A lot of guys, yeah, when they're playing downhill hockey, when they've got momentum on their side, when they've got their best game working, they can be very effective players. But when that hardship shows up, when they don't have their best game, they can kind of disappear and not be the same type of player. Last night, Thomas Bortolo showed us that when he doesn't have his best, he can still be an impactful player. And I think that that is impressive for David Quinn to talk about specifically, and it highlights the development we're seeing with David Quinn for younger Sharks players. Thomas Bortolo did not have his best stuff, but he still found a way to be effective, and he was put in a position to be effective out there on the ice. That's the type of thing that I want to see. That's the type of thing that Thomas Bortolo showed as a part of his game, and I will continue to enjoy his overall ability from one game to the next, because I want to see now, what is he like after he's had an off game where he's still effective? Can he have another off game where he's still effective? Can he bounce back with an A game where he is effective and scoring goals in bunches? What exactly does he have to offer from one game to the next? William Eklund is another guy who I thought, even though he was not the most effective that he's ever been last night, I liked his overall fight, grit, and determination last night. I thought that he brought a good game to the table. And again, even though he wasn't at his best, I continue to be pleased with his development. And I think that that right now is what we're looking at from a lot of the younger Sharks players, a lot of the guys that we think are part of the future that is not next year and the year after, but, you know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, that's when this team is going to be in the contending window once again. And yeah, I know it seems like a long way off right now, and I'm not going to tell you that it's going to suddenly turn around to where they're in true contention, but I do think that when you watch an Eklund, when you watch a Bordalo, when you see some of the potential there from Mackenzie Blackwood, when you watch, you know, the younger guys on the team, even Henry Thrun, there have been bumps in the road along the way, but he continues to improve overall with his game. And I think that's the most important thing to see with the Sharks right now. The desire for these young guys to get better, the veterans to continue to establish themselves and show what it means to be a professional in the NHL. And you build from there. I know that it's not the most exciting game always to see the Sharks when they're getting outshot 15-1. But if they're getting outshot 15-1 and not getting blown out, I think that's a credit to some things going well on the ice. Now, before we hit the break here, I did want to update one aspect. Barabanov injured once again. His season is in question. He is week to week now. That's unfortunate for Alexander Barabanov. He's had a tough go all year long with the injuries. He's never quite looked right to me. It's week to week with a lower body injury. Blocked a shot Tuesday in the second period of the game against the Stars. He didn't play the third period. So for San Jose, I don't know what Alexander Barabanov is going to be able to do to get back. Sometimes those bruises can linger and just limit your overall ability to push. So we will see if he comes back. You know, I don't know if this is going to be the last that we've ever seen of Barabanov. Again, he has not looked like himself all year long, and I would hope this is not how his time in Teal does come to an end. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some highlights. We're also going to get post-game reaction. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
In front of the net, Hoffman has it. Tees up, fans on the puck as he was being checked there by Rossi.
Oh, man, what a chance for Hoffman. That's just a guy that... Oh,
and now a breakaway. Getting by Hoffman, it's Rossi moving in. Backhand chance. Oh, what a save by Mackenzie Blackwood. After Hoffman fanned on the chance one way, Rossi came in after making the D play, had a breakaway skating right by Mike Hoffman, and what a save by the goaltender Blackwood just about 6 minutes into this first period.
Welcome back on a Friday morning as we are on the Sharks Audio Network. You're listening to Morning Tide presented by Coors Light, and we have Ruzy bringing us back in with a phenomenal save, one of many made by Mackenzie Blackwood last night. He was simply phenomenal. He kept on making the big plays, making the big stops, kept the Sharks alive early, especially when they were not getting a lot of shots on net and not looking like they were at their full strength. They were a little slow to get engaged in that game, but they had a good response, kept on getting better as we got later and later into the game. Just to give you a thought of Mackenzie Blackwood's night, 31 shots he faced, only two goals against, 29 saves, a .935 save percentage. He gave the Sharks a chance to win. I think that's the most important thing. And I think that when you look at some of the other stats out of this game, you start to see that the way the Sharks got themselves back into the game, they were outshot 15-1 in the first period and ended up, the shooting difference was only 32 for the Wild and 27 for the Sharks. Not too bad. Sharks also won the faceoffs in the game, 28-21, and I will take that any day of the week. Sharks did lose the special teams battle in terms of overall power plays accrued. They only had one power play, whereas the Wild had two, but neither team scored on the power play. Sharks out-hit the Wilds, and the Wild had one more blocked shot than the Sharks, 19-18, but really, you know, that first period, the Sharks were not engaged. I know that they just looked a little bit like they were on the other side of a plane ride and had trouble finding their legs. And I always go back to the fact that, yeah, this is a difficult season, a lot for them to fight through. But it, as the game got rolling, they did find themselves that much more engaged. They did get their game back. They got their legs under them, and they put up a fight. And I think that was pleasing at the very least, especially after that first period in which, again, they just did not look mentally ready or physically like they were hitting on all cylinders. And it did not take long for the Wild to take a lead in this game.
Eriksson-Ek, Kaprizov, Eriksson-Ek shoots, scores! A give and go for Minnesota moving into the offensive zone, and Joel Eriksson-Ek showing why he's one of the more valuable players on this roster. Executed beautifully and basically was in position, back skating toward the net on his forehand on the right side to get that return pass. Not much of a chance for Blackwood, and Eriksson-Ek makes it 1-0 Minnesota at 16:01 of the first.
Yeah, eventually the way that the Wild were playing in that first period, you knew they were going to have a breakthrough. The one thing I was worried about at that point was, are the Sharks going to be able to withstand from this point on? And very much credit to them, they did. And again, I look at Mackenzie Blackwood. You heard his save coming in on this segment. He was good. He was powerful. He was big in front of the net and kept the Sharks in it. You get into the second period, Mikael Granlund. A great individual effort working along the far boards and just driving and making something happen. He continues to be just one of the brightest spots of this Shark season.
Gaudreau down the right end of his shift. Throws into the Shark zone off the defense. Lassick and Ruda send it forward. Could be a 2-on-1. Now it's a 3-on-1. Moving in. It's Granlund trying to center it in front of the goal post. Score! Mikael Granlund kind of faked the pass and shoveled it toward the net. And I think Mikael Granlund's going to get this goal to get the Sharks on the board and all even, 1-1.
Great play from Granlund, making something happen and getting the Sharks right back into the game when they needed it the most. A shot in the arm, if you will. Unfortunately, like I talked about earlier, there was just not a whole lot of offense otherwise clicking for San Jose. And it's been a consistent issue this year. We've seen their lack of scoring both on the road and at home, and the Sharks just did not have any more of an answer, and it felt that much more painful, especially when the Wild scored just 18 seconds into the third period.
Face off here, 1-1 the score. Big game for the Wild, too, in their hopes for the playoffs. And Minnesota, who has a goal from Joel Eriksson-Ek, goes right to the attack as we get going in period number three. Boldy behind the net, centers in front, Kaprizov gathers, save, score! Boldy in front of a net. That play was started by Eriksson-Ek, but Kaprizov, with that quick flick of the stick, started a series of chaotic plays that resulted in Boldy knocking it in past Blackwood, who had no chance on the play. Only 18 seconds into the third, it's 2-1, Minnesota.
Now, I found this disheartening for a number of reasons. The first was that given the Sharks' inability to score on the road this year, I didn't know if that was going to be too much for them to overcome. It turned out that it was. The other one was that you give up a goal 18 seconds into the third period to go down 2-1. It very much reminded me of what we saw on Tuesday night when Jason Robertson scored a goal for Dallas 14 seconds into the second period to take a 3-0 lead. Early period goals, especially when the other team already has momentum on their side, like the one against Dallas, in which that gave them a 3-0 lead, to, you know, it was too much to overcome. The Sharks fought their way back into it, but couldn't find, the tie or the lead ever. And then in this one, you're on the road, you're against Minnesota, who's fighting for their playoff lives. You knew it was not going to take much for them to get that wind at their sails, reinvigorate, re-energize the building. And then 18 seconds into the third period, they give up a goal. So that one was a little bit distressing for me to see, and I hope that's something that the Sharks can get out of their game, because for two games in a row, they've given up the early goal in their early period goal. And this reminds me of other things we've seen for a couple games. It was the stretch passes that became an issue for the opposition, where suddenly they were giving up stretch pass goals and breakaways. And then, you go back before that, and then, it's the giving up the goals in bunches. And, there's just a lot of things that really have hurt the Sharks over this year. Little things kind of work their way into their game and work their way out. We haven't seen the breakaway as much as of late. But, yeah, that was disappointing. And I just remembered the other one. Chicago scored 18 seconds into overtime on Saturday night. So, yeah, that's many times as of late we've seen that early period goal have a negative outcome for the San Jose Sharks. Moving on, the Sharks try as they would to get their way back into it, but Minnesota did find the empty net.
Bortolo knocked down by Brodin, but he worked it loose. Zetterlund with a minute left, shoots in deep. Ekman along the left boards. Will he stop it? No, it's cleared toward the empty net. Score! Well, that's it. Empty netter for Minnesota with 53.3 seconds to go. Ryan Hartman, the right-handed shooter, is going to get credit for that goal. It was Eklund was trying to keep it in, but he fed it all the way down, and into the goal it went. 3-1 Wild.
There's part of me that would love to go back in time to find Dan Rusinowski after the Sharks' 92-93 season, the worst in the history of the franchise, and say, okay, Dan, in 30 years, you are going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame under the Foster Hewitt Memorial Award, but it's also going to be the worst season that the Sharks will have had since this point, just to see his confusion. It's like, what, we're going to have something like this once again? And no, it isn't quite as bad as that. But yeah, man, just it's been a long year. I'll put it that way. It has been a long year. All right, let's get some more into that post-game reaction. Here is head coach David Quinn when asked about both William Eklund, Thomas Bortolo, their performances through last night's game.
Well, I thought Ekki got better as the game went on. You know, I thought he's playing with a lot of confidence with the puck and doing a lot of good things. I thought Bordy was solid. I didn't think it was one of his better games, but I think we've talked about, you know, being a pro and when you're not having a great night, how bad you're bad. And I thought he just managed the game tonight. There wasn't a lot going on for him and, you know, probably some plays that he'd rather have back. But, you know, 4 months ago, this was a lot different performance for him. So I liked his game. I liked his game because he showed he had a little bit of a B game tonight.
What do you turn to when you don't have your best? And that's what we got to see from Thomas Bortolo last night. And I did like his comments about William Eklund, who I felt, yeah, did get better as the game went on, did look like that much more of a high-quality player. And again, you know, if you go listen to Brody's interview that he did with the Hockey Guy, he talked about how much he liked both William Eklund and Thomas Bortolo and what they have to offer for the future. And I know the future is this nebulous idea of what is going to be that is not now, but I, you know, Thomas Bortolo and William Eklund have a lot of ability, and I can't say that both of them will be star players, but I think you're looking at guys who are a part of this future. They have a lot to grow into in their game, and they're growing in difficult circumstances. I mean, we saw Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture and Timo Meier come in to really good situations with the Sharks, and they flourished. They were surrounded by talent. It's different when you come into a team that is not, you know, overall whelming with the opposition and doesn't give you the confidence to perform at a high level from day one. And that's what these guys are dealing with. And I give them a lot of credit for continuing to develop their game when it's not easy. I'm not trying to take anything away from a Logan Couture or a Tomas Hertl, but the development of their game, it was facilitated by a greater level of talent around them, and that helps. But obviously, I wonder what this is going to do to build a harder, denser, and more durable mentality for an Eklund and a Bortolo, and beyond that, a Fabian Zetterlund as well. Quinn was also asked about moving Eklund back to the wing and what he's thought about his game.
Yeah, I am. I liked a lot about his game tonight, and as we've touched on, I think we, you know, needed to put him in a better position to succeed. We obviously had him in the middle, which he wanted to do, and I think as time was going on, he said, okay, this is enough for me. I'll get back to the wing because it's awful difficult to play center in the National Hockey League when you're young and, you know, trying to develop. So, you know, I think I could literally see a sigh of relief when we told him we were moving him back to the wing, and he's certainly taking advantage of it.
Just because William Eklund is not a center now does not mean he won't be a center in the future. And again, we don't know if that's his best utilization. He has it in his back pocket. David Quinn is liking what he's seen from his game overall. I think all of us are liking what we're seeing from William Eklund's game overall. So that continued development is what I am most focusing on right now. Not whether or not he's a center or a winger, whatever. That's part of the development, obviously, but I just want to see his game improving from one game to the next. Final one from Quinn, also asked about why he decided to pair Thrun and Addison.
We had been talking about him. We wanted to see what the look was early, and we didn't like what the look gave us in the first two rotations. So I didn't want to wait. I wanted to kind of get the pairings that we had talked about switching to if things didn't go well. And, you know, I think we got better as the game went on.
Nothing wrong with being flexible, and David Quinn, obviously, he's got to figure things out. And yeah, early on, the Sharks looked like they were having some trouble, made some adjustments, and I think things smoothed out a bit. Just a heads up, because Tara and I were talking about this last night on when the NHL draft lottery might occur. Frank Cervalli has reported that it could be on May 6th or May 7th. Right now, the Sharks have the best odds to land the number one overall pick. So yeah, that's part of what we're looking forward to. All right, we are just about out of time. I will be back with you on Saturday afternoon. The Sharks have a 5 o'clock go time against the Blues, 4:30 pre, and then I'll be back with you Sunday morning for Morning Tide once again. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.